So we're going to read Psalm 8 here, the whole chapter. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above all heavens, out of the mouth of babies and infants. You have established strength because of your foes, to still your enemies, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which have been set in place, in what is man that you are mindful of him, and son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowded him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all living things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the path of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Thank you, Owen. So tonight, I guess first thing I kind of want to talk about was just a brief testimony, a little bit of my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home with two really godly parents, and I don't think I really took that for granted when I was growing up, or I think I did take that for granted when I was growing up, how blessed I was with my house and my parents, my family, and we always went to church. We always went to Awana youth group, and I was saved. I got saved when I was 7, and then I wasn't baptized until I was 18. I was baptized August when I was 18, and then I moved here about a month after that in September. But when I was growing up, the one thing I never really grabbed a hold of, or one thing I never really appreciated, was who God was. Really, I didn't have a real respect for God, or a fear of God, a real healthy fear of God, or that reverence for God, like a true reverence for who he was and what he can do. And that is important because you need the respect for God. It's the God that's in our presence, the God that's everywhere, the God that we pray to, the God that I have a relationship with. And I think even now, I haven't really gotten a hold of that, but I think that's really important for me to grow spiritually. And I think if I can't get a hold of that just in my own study or in my own praying or whatever, I think God showed me maybe if you're going to have to get up in front of people and tell that to them, and then maybe you're going to get it for yourself. So that's kind of the first thing I want to look at, is really who God is. So God is this all-powerful, all-knowing. He's completely eternal. He's never changing. He's perfectly holy, perfectly righteous and just and pure and loving. He created everything. He created us, and he created everything we see, everything we hear, everything we touch, everything we feel, and everything we imagine. He's everywhere at all times, and that's something that's hard for us to, I guess, comprehend, is really how big God is. Jeremiah 32, it's a portion of scripture where he's praying to God, and he tells God, there's nothing too hard for you. So we think about this God, he created everything, and really apart from sin, there's nothing that he can't do. Psalm 147, it says, his understanding is infinite. So we think about that, we can't really understand that. His understanding is infinite. It has no limits, absolutely no limits. We can't even understand, we can't really understand his existence, how long he's existed for, because everything we know is measured, everything we know is timed, it's limited. We can't understand his existence, or we can't even really understand how much he understands, really. God is just, he's so much bigger than us. He's overwhelmingly bigger than us, overwhelmingly better than us. And I think at some point we have to stop, or I have to stop trying to understand God, or stop trying to look at God and try to understand him, and we just have to sit back, you know, say, wow, like, this God is incredible, and he's amazing, and he's just really that much bigger than we are. So we're at Psalm 8, in verse 1. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens? And you look down to verse 3, it says, When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? So who are we to this God? This God that created everything, this God that we can't even understand, who are we to him? What is man that you are mindful of him? So why does he care about us? Why does he look after us? Why does he love us? The Bible says he loved us so much that he gave up everything, and he came down to the earth just to die for us. He gave up so much just so he can come here and die for us, just because he loves us. And we can't really understand how that happened, or how all of that God could get into one person and still be everywhere at the same time. I don't know how that happened, but and why God would come here just to die for people that really can't even understand his existence, or understand how much he understand who God is, really. So you look at Psalm 8, verse 3. It says, When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the path of the seas. So now this God, he died for us and he loves us, and we can't understand him. And now it says here he wants to give us a responsibility, and he wants to use us somehow. And then you look at chapter 8, verse 2. It says, O to the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So God is really, we're so insignificant compared to God. And here in this verse, in verse 2, he's calling us babies or nursing infants. And if you think about a baby, it's just, it can't do anything on its own. And it doesn't understand what's going on around it. It can't get food by itself. It can't eat by itself. It can't even stand up by itself on its own. It needs somebody's help. And that's what God's calling us here. He's calling us babies, or babes and nursing infants. It says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So, really, if we think about it in that way, we're helpless compared to God. We're helpless without God. But he wants to give us strength. He wants to use us, and he wants to work through us and show his strength through us, show his power through us. And maybe we can't understand God or his existence or really who he is, but I think we need to realize, and we can understand, that he wants to use us. And we need to be willing to be used by God. And lately, since we're in the evangelism group, we go on Monday nights. and we go out and we pass out tracts, and sometimes we get a conversation or something. And I was getting more comfortable with that, talking to people one-on-one and sharing the gospel. And I started praying for an opportunity or more opportunities that I would get, just maybe bumping into people or with my classmates or something, that I would really get to share the gospel. And then Miles came up to me and asked me to speak. And I was like, you know, I kind of asked for this. But I mean, right now, I guess I'm hesitant to call this an answer to prayer, but I guess it is. And I think God was trying to show me that, you know, I was getting comfortable out there, and I was getting kind of confident, and maybe starting to feel that there was a strength in myself, and there was maybe something I could do, something I could do right that might help someone's salvation. And I was really losing a confidence in what God can do. So I was starting to feel that there might be a strength in myself, and instead of relying on God's strength and God to work through me, it's God that saves, it's God that heals, and it's God that's all powerful. God is all knowing. He understands everything. And we don't. We're, like this verse says, he's calling us babies, but he gives us the strength, and he gives us the power, and he wants to work through us to show other people that, show other people, and he wants to silence the enemy and the avengers, what it says in this verse. And I think, just as an example, I think the best preacher could come up here and give the best sermon, and nobody's lives could be changed. I think that could happen because if God, it doesn't matter what he's saying, if God's not working in their hearts or if God's not speaking to people, it doesn't really matter what he's saying, that there no one's going to be changed if God's not working in them. And I think I could come up here and just stand here in complete silence and stare at every single one of you and not say a thing, and everybody could be changed, and everybody could be affected, just because God is the one that does the work, and God's the one that changes people, and he's the one that saves. And it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter what I do, and it's God that affects people, it's God that works in their hearts. And I think that should be encouraging to us, that we don't need strength in ourselves. We don't need confidence in ourselves. We don't need to be comfortable with what we're doing. I didn't want to do this. Like, I'm not comfortable right now. But God is the one that gives us strength. God has given me strength to do this. And we don't need to be experienced. I think that's one thing that I would think about. If, you know, I'd want to go up there and preach for the first time after maybe I stood up or I spoke a couple times at youth group and I was experienced talking in front of people. But we don't need to be experienced or comfortable or confident, because it's God that does the work, and it's God that changes people, and God that gives us strength. I heard an example once by a preacher who was talking about evangelism, and he said if you thought God was calling you to go to a conference and speak to, say, a thousand unbelievers or 1,000 people who are still living in their sins, and God wanted you to get to one soul and just see one soul saved, I think we could go there, and if God said, you know, do whatever you can, say whatever you want to, we would believe that that would happen. And we believe, because we see that all the time, we see people saved all the time. So we would believe that if we went there, we could see that one soul saved. But if you thought God was asking you to go to a conference of, say, 1,000 physically blind people, and he said, I just want you to get one person. So I want you to get one person to look at you. And I don't think many of us would really think that that would happen, or we wouldn't really trust God enough to think that maybe that one blind person would actually look at you, because we think that there's some strength in ourselves, or there's something we can do, something we can say to help salvation along, and we don't fully rely on God on that, and that people in their sins, the Bible calls them spiritually blind. If you think about that, God is one that God's giving them sight, spiritual sight when he saves them. And if we can't heal blind people, physically blind people, we can't help that along at all. We can't do anything. I can't say anything. I can't, like, you know, get them. I can't do anything to get them to look at me, physically blind person. But when it comes to a sinner or a spiritually blind person, I think there's something that I might be able to do to help it along, or to help them to be able to see. I think we need to realize that it's God that saves, and it's God that heals, and it's nothing within us, because we're helpless without God. And I think that's really what I missed, or that's what I didn't see, and this kind of changed my mentality and changed my mindset of serving God and what I can do for God. And really, my willingness to be used by God wherever he wants me to go. Because I think God doesn't want to use us where we're confident that we can do it. God wants to use us where we're confident that he can do it. And where we're confident that God changes people, and God's the one that heals, God's the one that saves. And I think that's really what I needed to see. And that's what I needed to change in my life, to be more willing to be used by God, just because I know I don't need the confidence, I don't need the strength, or I don't need to be comfortable, I don't need experience. Because it's God that saves people, it's God that heals people, and God's the one that gives me the strength to go out there and preach the gospel, or talk to people, or come up here and preach. And it's nothing in me. I don't need confidence in myself. I just need confidence in God. Yeah, so that's really all I have. But I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. I was hoping for maybe less of a turnout, but I don't know. Yeah, thank everyone for coming, and thank you for listening, and I'll just close in prayer. God, I thank you for this opportunity for me and Tristan to come up here and share what you've laid on our heart and what you've been teaching us. I pray that someone here might have been changed, or someone here might have, they might see being used by you in a different way, and they might see that they don't need experience, or they don't need strength themselves or confidence. They just need to rely on you and who you are and what you can do. And I pray now as we go home that you'd give us all safety, and you'd bless this time that we had together. I just thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.